We got it on now, yes, sir. All right. You got a copy on me, JD? All right, sir. He said if he didn't like what I preached, he turned me down. I remind him my pulpit's portable. I can come back there. Man, that feller has a good time. You can too if you want to. Old Brother Vance Havner said all this and heaven too. Lord have mercy. Still see, curse well to be shouting this crowd this side of heaven. Now, hey, Stacy, that Chinese didn't hurt Curtis none, did it? He done better tonight than he's been a-doing. I tell you. Praise God. Hey, I got two Mitchell County boys here tonight. Stand up, fellas. Let them look at you. Amen. Good to see you here. Praise the good Lord. I appreciate what I feel in this place. That good singing. Hallelujah. We've heard around here. I'm glad God's blessed you. You don't have to bus them in, fly them in. You got them right amongst you, Scott. Operate for God. What a blessing that is. If you got a Bible tonight, I'd like to follow in the scripture. Turn, if you would, please, to the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I'm interested in the third verse. Third chapter, third verse, Gospel of Mark, if you're physically able. I'll ask you to stand in reverence to the one that wrote the book. Had a friend call me yesterday morning down in Niota, Tennessee. Brother Cliff's grandson, Scott, announced his calling to preach about a month ago. And I sent him a bunch of CDs. And may have ruined him, may have been already. Cliff said he went to hear him first time. He preached Sunday nights a week ago, Curtis. Said he told him, you know, stand up now and honor the Lord for his word. But he forgot to have him sit down. Said about 20 minutes into the message, oh, I forgot you people can sit down. He said, now. Hallelujah. This morning's good to stand up. I tell you, sometimes I can't hardly sit down, can you? The right thing gets said to want to stand up. Amen. I said, don't trip me, and I'll try not to step on you, and we'll get along all right. Hallelujah. I, for the life of me, I can't understand how some preachers can take that blessed old book and get up before a congregation and stay so calm about it. That's hard for me to understand. My wife fusses at me, you know. She said, you got to realize, Robert, she called me Robert. Only person on earth called me Robert. And if I hear Robert twice, you better believe I'm listening. She said, you got to realize, Robert, everybody don't worship like you. I said, yeah, but it's so good, I want to get them in on it. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus is talking. Boy, and Jesus talks, but who's us to listen? And he saith unto the man with the withered hand, stand forth. Father, I thank you for your word. This time together under the old tabernacle tonight. Lord, what you been a-doing around here and what you going to keep on doing, sir, this evening, we're of a grateful heart. Stands to reason, Lord, the crowd this size, somebody here lost and undone. Going to wind up in hell if they don't get saved. And I pray, dear God, this will be the night they come, give their heart to Jesus, make a reservation for glory in him. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Somebody with another need, I pray they bring it to you. Find help, dear God, at thy hand. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You can be seated. And he saith to the man with the withered hand, stand forth. Now, evidently, this fella had had some kind of disease, even maybe as a boy, that had cut off the blood flow to his hand. And his hand was shriveled, withered, not like the healthy hand.
Right.
And so here Jesus encountered this problem when he walked into the synagogue that day, this man with a shriveled up hand. Now Matthew and Mark don't tell us, but Luke tells us that it was his right hand. And I know why. You got to remember that Luke was a physician. And a physician in their writings always tells us if it was the right hand or left hand. Always. They'll distinguish between the two. Right foot, right arm, left arm. And so old doctor Luke tells us it was his right hand. Now, as far as God goes, the right hand is a hand of blessing. I know some preachers won't sit nowhere in the building except on the right hand. They believe that so much. The right hand of God's a hand of blessing. But I said, how do you determine which is the right hand? According to me, according to you. You see. And that's a hand of, I mean, when the Sanhedrin court met, they had two scribes, one sat on the right, one on the left. One on the right wrote pardons. One on the left wrote condemnations. Boy, ain't you glad when Jesus ascended back to glory, he sat down where? Right hand, boy. He did sign my pardon one day. Hallelujah. And so as far as God goes, the right hand's hand of blessing. But when it comes to man, the right hand is a hand of fellowship. And so here is a fella out of fellowship. He got a shriveled up right hand. Right hand's no good. He's out of fellowship probably with God and his fellow man. That's where I was, Curtis. Until that nail-scarred hand touched my shriveled hand. I was out of fellowship. I couldn't understand why them people would go down there on Sunday morning and sit and listen to somebody, you know, with a Bible in their hand. And go back on Sunday night, Wednesday evening. I couldn't understand that. I was out of fellowship, you see, where you stayed in jail all them places. And but his nail-scarred hand touched my shriveled-up hand, boy.
Amen.
One day made a difference in all of that. Now, while all this is going on, these Pharisees and scribes is trying to figure out some way to do away with him, to get rid of him. That was an ignorant crowd. I heard old John Jasper, that black preacher from Richmond, Virginia, years ago, say if you was going to do away with God, what would you use for power?
Yeah.
You couldn't use water, he'd walk on it.
Yeah.
You couldn't use fire, he'll refuse to burn.
Yes, sir.
You couldn't use death, they tried that. Third day morning, he walked out and said, I'm he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I said, ain't that a joke on the devil? He ain't got the key to his own house. Jesus said he had the keys, didn't he? You couldn't use time to do away with God. He'll outlast it. But here they are trying to figure out some way to do away with him. Get rid of him. And what they're discussing, how wrong it is for him to be a healing on the Sabbath. And here they are on the Sabbath trying to come up with a plot to get rid of him. We got people that crazy today, Scott. Yes, sir. That's what Jesus is talking about. I believe some of that straining and that and swallowing the camel business. Yeah. I mean, condemning him for healing on the Sabbath, and them trying to come up with a plot to get rid of him. Well, the Bible said Jesus knew their thoughts. By the way, he knows yours.
Amen.
He knows mine.
Amen.
Some way, somehow, if it were possible, how'd you like to have your thoughts flashed on the wall here this evening?
No, sir.
You talk about people trying to hide, John escaped. And... But Jesus knows our thoughts. I mean, a lot of places I preach, you know, some of them disgust me while I'm preaching. Matter of fact, one woman come right out and told me, preacher, she said, you ought to see you when you preach. I said, better than that, you ought to see you when I preach. But see, most of them don't know my wife, and she's sitting back there listening, preacher. I get to hear it, their thoughts. Now, your neighbor may not know, but God knows your thoughts. Jesus knows your thoughts this evening. That's why when we come down to invitation, you might as well get up here and tell him he knows anyhow. You ain't covering up nothing, hiding nothing. He knew their thoughts. He just went ahead and helped this man with a withered hand, Sabbath or no Sabbath. But what I picked up on right here, the same method he used to help him is a method he used on me. And whether you know it or not, it's the same method of operation he used on you. Let's look at it. What's the first thing Jesus told him? Verse 3, stand forth. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, come out of that crowd. Get up here and identify yourself with me. Boy, happy was the day I identified with him. Get out of that crowd. Stand forth. Come up here and identify yourself with me. Boy, it's good to be identified with Jesus. I tell you, Melvin Dillinger from Spruce Pine, John, made arrangements for me to go to Avery County Prison, the old prison years ago, and preach one Saturday. And then called and told me what he'd done. Well, we went up to the prison, parked outside, went up to the gate. That guard didn't let us in. He got on the phone. He didn't even have a key to that gate. There's another guard came with a key and opened that gate and let us in. And right here is what that guard said. He said, "Men, stay close to me." He didn't have to tell me a second time. That's some mean fellers in there, Curtis. Like old Curtis over here. And when that guard moved his foot, I put my foot where his had been. I stuck with him, man. Now, we must have come to a half dozen other gates, Scott. And every gate we come to had a guard on it. But when they see me and Melvin coming with that other guard, they'd have that gate open for us. We didn't even slow down. They'd have that gate open. We just passed right through that gate. Now, do you think for a minute, if I'd been out there by myself that Saturday morning, that I could have got through those gates like that easily? No, it was because of who I had identified myself with. I had identified myself with that guard. And boy, I found no difficulty when I come to those gates. April 16th, 1953, I identified with the one that can get me through the gate. I ain't even going to slow down, Scott. I'm going in the old Jordan to shout and come out a shout. Hallelujah. Right onto the golden street. It ain't even going to slow down. I'm identified with the one that can get me through the gate. Huh? What's a good feeling tonight, church? Be identified with him. Somebody ought to wave at him tonight over that feeling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's a blessing, boy. Have identified yourself. He said, get out of that crowd. Stand forth.
Amen.
That's how he started with me.
Amen.
Now listen, that old boy didn't know what was going to come next.
Right.
I mean, bless God, he just identified himself with Jesus. He just stood forth, not knowing what Jesus is going to say next.
Right.
I didn't either. I didn't have an inkling of an idea what's going to take place next, preacher. He said, stand forth. I've had people tell me, you know, how reluctant they've been. Boy, I tell you what, they couldn't have helped me back. I've seen them drag people to the altar. Lord have mercy. I mean, listen, they couldn't have held me down. I felt like I was going to go to hell, boy, in the next few seconds. I had to do something. I didn't know what he's going to tell me to do next. You think I had any idea 62, 63 years ago when I stood forth that I'd be standing here tonight, Scott, before this crowd of good people with a copy of the Word of God in my hand? You think I had an inkling of an idea that I'd make 25 mission trips to the island of Jamaica? You think I had any kind of idea that I'd be on 6 radio stations? I used to listen to old Brother Harold Seitler, Bright Spot there, when I was a little old boy. And he'd come on there and that woman playing that organ, you know. And then he'd come on. Shocked me to death the first time I saw him. He didn't look nothing like I had him pictured, you know. And you think I had any idea I'd be on that same station for 30 years now that I listened to Harold Seitler on? Do you think I had any kind of an idea, preacher, that his son, James, would be coming around where I preach? Drove all the way to the mountains in Beulah Dean and took me and Carolyn to lunch one day after church. His daddy, I had such respect for him as a little old boy. I didn't have any idea at all what he's going to say next. I just stood forth, brother. I wanted to be identified with him. Amen. I don't reckon anybody else got saved that night in revival but me. Boy, I feel so honored sometimes when I think about that. I wonder in that meeting how many people that the Lord stepped over and walked around to get where I was at and save me that night. I feel so honored and blessed. I'll tell you, I don't know how I stay as quiet as I do preaching. Yes, sir. I mean, he may have stepped over half a dozen, walked around a dozen to get to me and save me that night. Hallelujah. What a God's word. Stand forth. I just come out of that crowd, boy, and identified myself with him. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 5. Second thing he told him. Stretch forth. Now listen. He's going to go to work on him now. He's got him out of that crowd. Identified with him. He's going to start working on him. He don't work on people that hadn't identified with him. No, sir. But the very minute he identified himself with Jesus, Jesus is going to work on him now. This, to me, speaks of following in obedience when he stretched forth his that right hand. Now, there's some people, if they have identified with the Lord, they quit right there. Because they sure ain't been doing much these days in the way of obedience. Things like forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. I did hear him say, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I ought to be able to give an altar call and fill the altar up right there, preacher. I mean, listen, he's going to go to work on him now. Now, I'll tell you what, you identify yourself, you better start obeying him. He's going to really work on you. I sat one day in Montego Bay, Jamaica, with an evangelist friend of mine, old Brother Carl Nelson. And he's a Navy man. I didn't know anything about ships. I was an Army. And there's an American destroyer in that harbor. And Carl began to tell me about that ship. He said, the captain's not on board. I said, how do you know that? He said, the captain's flag's not flying. He said, the captain's on board, his flag's flying. We ought to be flying the flag, hadn't we? First, that message right there. I ain't going to stop there right now. He wanted to preach, amen. He said his flag ain't up. He ain't on board. And one thing, he said, boy, he said, I was rough in them days, preacher. He said, we call that torpedo propellant torpedo juice. And he said, we drunk that stuff, get high. And he said, there's times if we'd got in a battle, we'd been in trouble. We'd drunk all that torpedo propellant up. He needed your ministry bad, didn't he? He said the government caught up with us and started dyeing that stuff, making it red. He said that didn't even slow us down. He said we found out we could strain it through light bread and take the dye out of it. Now, he said, the brig's right up front in that ship. And he said, I spent some time there. And he said, I remember an old boy one morning we got up. And he said, I've made that bed up for the last time. I'm not making it up no more. Well, he said it wasn't long. The captain is standing there looking at him. And he said, that old boy looked at that captain and said, you can't make me make my bed up, my bunk. I've made it up for the last time. You can't make me. He said, "You're right, son. I can't make you make that bed, but I can make you wish you had." Ain't that God for us? He may not make you do it, but one day somewhere down the road you'll wish you had. Yes, sir. An old boy up home, God called him to preach. Preacher. The church found out about it without a pastor and sent a search committee. And they said, "If you quit your job, we'll treat you well. Come be our pastor." He said, "I can't do it. I can't do it." They said, "Why can't you?" He said, I can't give up my benefits." He said, "I've got profit sharing. I've got insurance." And he said, "I can't give that up." His wife begged him. His parents begged him. His wife went so far to him and said, "Listen, if you'll go with God, I'd be willing to go barefoot. If you'll go with God, I'd be willing to go hungry. Please just go with God." He said, "I can't do it. I can't give up my benefits." 2 months later, down at the funeral home, little coffin of their son, he watched his wife get down, preacher, reach up, Scott, and take a hold of that little coffin and say, "God, I was willing to go barefoot. God, I was willing to go hungry," and he wouldn't do it. And he said, "Preacher, I got down beside her that night and said there in front of that little coffin, I resigned my job." He said, "I quit my job. You may not do it, but you'll wish you had one day." Huh? Yes, sir. I preached some years ago in his lifetime with old Brother Mays. I remember one night, I couldn't tell you for the life of me what he took for a text, but I'll never forget something he told. He said he's the first pastor of church right in town. And he said he and a deacon was visiting one evening. And he said he started in the sidewalk to a house, and the deacon said, "I'm not going in there." "Why not?" He said, "I've been there," and he cussed me. Said, "He'll cuss you, preacher. I'm not going." He said, "You wait right here. I'm going to speak to him." He said he knocked on that door, and that man came to the door. He said, "I'm Brother Mays Jackson." He said, "I know you. I heard you on the radio." And he said, "I heard you say that there's coming a time that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess." He said, "Preacher, I want you to look right here at two knees that'll never bow." He said, about that time, a little boy ran across the lawn. And he said, "If you won't come to church, will you let your little boy come to church?" He said, "Preacher, I'm not coming. He's not coming. I want nothing to do with you. Get out of here and let us alone." He said, he told him, "We'll pray for you." He said, a couple of weeks later, that same deacon called him and said, "Brother Mays, have you heard that little boy got off the school bus and a motorist didn't stop and pass that bus? He's dead on the scene." He said, 3 days later, they had that little boy's body in that home. I'm old enough to remember when they'd take the corpse to the house. And he said, I've got to go. That deacon said, "I'll go with you." Said he knocked on the door of that home that night, and a neighbor came and let him in. He said he walked in and that daddy's standing by that coffin. Said they had that little boy's trucks and cars he played with down under that little casket. Said that daddy was standing there with that little boy's football, passing it from one hand to the other. He said he became aware of somebody's presence and he turned around and saw him. And he said, "Preacher, I had nothing for you when my boy was alive. I've got nothing for you now. Get out of here and let me alone." He said, "All right, sir." May said he reached for the door handle and turned and said, "Just one thing I want to tell you. If you ever see him again, you're going to have to bow." He said he got about halfway out that door and that old daddy hollered at him. He said, "Wait a minute, preacher. I'm going to have to bow." You may not do it, but there'll be a day you wish you had. I mean, buddy, once you stand forth, he goes to work on you. Little old youngins used to sing, "Scott, to make me what I ought to be." Often thought about it. You know, I heard an illustration years ago. A preacher told me, he said he encountered on a large city street where there's building a great cathedral, a stonemason down there chipping away at a piece of rock. He said, he asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm a shaping it here to fit up yonder." Ain't that exactly what God's doing with me and you? He's shaping us here, buddy. We're going to fit up yonder. He's still working on me. Hallelujah. Make me what I ought to be. Make you what you ought to be. Boy, listen. Stretch forth. And he goes to work on him. Yes, sir. Chapter 3, verse 14. Find two more words. Sent forth. Now I want you to notice the progression. Stand forth, stretch forth, and then sent forth. He don't send you forth till you stretch forth after you identified yourself with him. I'm satisfied these people are trying to operate for God. God had nothing to do with sending them forth. Amen. Nothing at all. God ain't 40 miles of what they're calling their ministry. Because God don't send nobody forth till he's done a work in their life. Till he's prepared them for that job. Years ago, I had an old fellow in church. I got to missing him. And first time I saw him, I said, "Spence, where you been?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you." He said, "God sends me down to the hospital on Sunday to talk to people in there needing help." I said, "Spence, God ain't no part of that. Don't blame that on God." I said, "You need to be in the house of God, getting on ground to be able to go down there and do some good for God." He don't send nobody forth till he's done a work in their life. Yes, sir. My, listen. This old boy's out of fellowship. Didn't take Jesus long to do something about that, did he? Stand forth. Ain't you glad for the day you stood forth? Hallelujah. Now, I'll be as honest, I know how to be, buddy. I'm still stretching forth. Because I've not arrived. There's some areas of my life needs work. And I've got to find myself constantly coming to God. You contend that motor scooter tonight? He must have. He ain't answering, is he? Yeah, I mean, we've got to admit, we've not arrived yet. We're needing some help, ain't we? I preach to people tonight, needs to be in this altar in a little while here, stretching forth. Help me, Lord. Right here's an area in my life I need some help. Well, one of these days, you send you forth.
Amen. Right.
And I'll tell you this, when he does, you'll be ready.
Amen.
Because he won't do it till you're ready.
Amen.
Be sent forth. God called me to preach. I couldn't say three words in front of 10 people. That was not my personality. But when I stood forth, he changed my personality, preacher. I come down the aisle loosening my tie, Curtis. My pastor thought I was coming to announce my calling. I was coming to preach. I took his service that night. I mean, I'd been praying. Lord, it seems like you want me to preach. I didn't pray that long. I got to praying, Lord, if you don't want me to preach, you better tell me. I'm going to. He done something for my personality. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, and I stood forth, a little old boy. I had no idea in this world that he'd open some doors. He's open for me. Sometimes, you know, I feel like I must be his pet or something, you know. But he's blessed you just as much as he has me. I ought to have had a half a dozen of you on the floor with me tonight. Praising God. Glorifying God. Yes, sir. Stand forth. Stretch forth. You ready to be sent forth, buddy. Hey, I picked up on something. When I said that, just that's three-fourths. That's enough of God, ain't it? It's three-fourths. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. As good as the devil's whole load, ain't it? Yes, sir. You hear lost and undone without God tonight, he'll save you if you'll cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Get in this old altar. Just stand forth. He'll take it from there.
Amen.
Then somebody else, I mean, listen, there's a time back yonder, you say, I'd take you, preacher, to the place. Tell you the time I stood forth. But I just need to come tonight and stretch forth a little more. So God, right here's something I need some help with. Somebody else, you say, Lord, when you're ready, send me forth. You got you a man.
Amen.
You got you a woman. You got you a boy. You got you a girl. Lord, I'm volunteering for service.
Amen.
Here am I, send me. I said, there are a lot of people, you know, up in the mountains. Here am I, Lord, send Bob. Probably some down here, here am I, Lord, send Scott. I have people all the time come to me, preacher, would you go talk to my uncle or would you go talk to my daddy or my mother? They're lost and undone. And would you go speak to them? I know. And I go on to tell them, you know why I'm not going? He didn't tell me. He told you. Are you sorry thing? You go tell them. Yes, sir. God don't operate like that. He wants me to do something. He'll tell me.
That's all right, Doc.
He'll tell you, and he wants you to do something on him.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Well, it's up to you. This obedience. This old boy's going to fall in obedience when he stretches forth that right hand. Yes, sir. It's up to you.
Amen.
He won't make you.
Amen.
But he can make you wish you had. So we stand. All of this auditorium musicians, come quickly. Play something for us tonight.
Amen.
Preacher Bob, don't know about another than God in heaven speaking to my heart right now. Come on to Jesus. God loves you, wants to help you if you'll let him.
Amen.
come on to Jesus. God bless you, men. God bless you, ladies. God bless you for your honesty.